That was pretty good. It's good. All right. So last week, for those of you who are here, I spoke about this idea of going, and we're going to continue that theme this week. We also spoke a little bit about my struggle with Dairy Queen, and just so everyone knows, in case you're concerned, I did good this week. Didn't have any Dairy Queen, so that's good. I heard a lot of jokes about Dairy Queen this week because I opened up about that. I guess that's what happens here. No, I'm just joking. It's all good. It's all good. But no, we're going to continue to talk about this idea of going. And we use as our kind of jumping off verse, there we go, Matthew 28:19-20. It says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let me just pray for us, and then we'll jump in here. Father, it's coming for you this morning, and thank you for everyone who's here. Father, I just pray that you would ultimately speak here this morning. I pray, Father, whatever it is that you want to lay on people's hearts, that's what they would remember. Anything that's just of me, I pray that it would fall by the side. I pray, Lord, that we all just walk away from this morning just a little bit more of what you desire us to be. I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we're going to talk about this idea of going. So last week we talked a lot about the idea of just accepting and embracing the idea that we're called to go, that every single one of us has a call in our life to go and be light. This week we want to talk a little bit about what does that look like. So first, I'm going to give you a little story from my life of what it kind of doesn't look like, I guess. So back many years ago, I had gone out to visit a friend of mine in Philadelphia, and it was during 4th of July, and in the, like, downtown area or whatever, they were going to have this big fireworks thing and everything, so excited about that. So went down there, we were walking around, and get to this one section, and obviously there's people all over the place, shoulder to shoulder, walking around, and there's this guy standing on a chair. And so I get a little closer, and he's just basically yelling and screaming at people. And let's just say, I would just say that they weren't really nice things, all right? A lot of hateful things coming out of his mouth, but he was doing it in the name of God, all right? And I'll be honest, I watched how people were reacting, and I watched their faces, and I watched how they were responding. And as you would guess, most responded in the sense of like, who's this? This guy's a joke, or I can't believe he's doing this, or those kinds of things. Honestly, my first reaction is I just wanted to go and kind of like tackle him off the chair. But I didn't think that was probably the best thing to do, so I didn't do that. But we'll get back into that example later. But that's a good example, I think, of what we're not necessarily called to do, is that when we go. Today, we're going to talk a little bit about what it should look like to do that, to go. So this verse, I think, that I'm going to show in a second kind of speaks more to what needs to be at the core of when we go. So 1 Corinthians 13:1-3 says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing." Now, this is a positive verse because in this verse, they're talking about a lot of really good things, right? Feeding the poor and having faith and all these things that we talk about that are important to our faith, to what we believe, right? But what we see in here is, what does he say? He says, all these things, he says, if you do this, but you don't have love, it's pretty much useless. It's pretty much useless. The point is, these things are great. These things that they're talking about in this passage are great, but they must come from a place of love, right? And so as we go, it must be through the filter of love. Must be through the filter of love. Now, when I say that, at least in the circles I grew up as a Christian, a lot of people would probably be like, oh, I don't know, we got to be careful with that. That might be softening the gospel too much. I don't know if people grew up in those crowds, but if you did, you might be kind of that feeling that little angst inside of you, right? But here's the deal. It's clear in Scripture. It needs to be through the filter of love. It's clear. And this is the thing, is understand that love isn't necessarily always easy. Right? Love is sometimes telling people truth that they don't want to hear. Right? But love is also doing those things that we think of when we think of love. And as we go, that needs to be the stance through which we do anything. So as we go, the one question we can always ask ourselves when we're not sure what to do in a situation to be light is this going to be a loving action? Or am I going to do this in a loving way? Are the words I'm going to say, are they going to be loving? Right? It's a filter through which everything can go. Now, I think one of the first things that's going to happen as we go with love is that we're going to have compassion. We're going to have compassion. When we love people, we're compassionate towards them. Now, we go back to my example that I started with the guy on the chair in the middle of that 4th of July celebration. I didn't see compassion in him. I actually saw a lot of anger in him, is what I saw as I watched him. And here's the deal. I believe that likely that guy might have started off from a good place. It goes back to what we talked about, the idea last week of we start kind of doing it in our own power, it becomes our own thing, it becomes our own agenda, rather than about God and letting God do what he wants to do and entrusting that to him. He was not looking at others, who they were, their situation. He wasn't looking at any of that. It's just his agenda. The way that we say things or do things is just as important as what we do or what we say. And that's important to keep in mind. Because here's your deal, is some of those things that that guy might have been saying may have been true. Right? Because he probably talked a lot about hell. He probably talked a lot about judgment. He probably talked a lot about sin. And all those things are very real things. But it's the way in which he was sharing those things. It didn't come from a place of love. And as human beings, we sense that. We know that. And we kind of shut off when we experience that. And this is the thing, is this compassion, it's not just compassion for eternal things. It's compassion for what's going on really in people's lives. Real life situations that people are walking through. Because sometimes we're just like, well, it's just eternity is the only thing that's important. And here's your deal. It's at the top, no doubt. And we'll talk about that. But if we truly love people, if we're compassionate towards people, we're going to see those felt needs. We're going to have compassion in that way. And I think Jesus is a great example of this. You look at Jesus' ministry, it's full of this. So I'm just going to go through three or four verses here. We'll go through them kind of quick, but just examples of Jesus acting with compassion. So first, Matthew 9:36. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 14:14. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Matthew 15:30-32. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the cripple made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praised the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. Matthew 20:29-34. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately they received their sight and followed him. In every one of these passages, Jesus had compassion. Right? And we notice this compassion, right? It was sincere. It came from the heart. It bubbled from out of just who he was. And when we talk about compassion, we're talking about this idea of putting ourselves in other people's shoes. Right? Kind of stepping into their life and understanding where they're at. We feel for them and we feel with them. It's a genuine, deep concern for people. It's really about being other-focused. And I think the challenge a lot of times for a lot of us is, and myself as well, and I talked to this a little bit, is we get really busy, and sometimes we forget to think about others. And that can happen sometimes in our faith too. Right? We get really busy and we just get so focused on stuff that we can't stop. We don't have time to stop and think about other people. It's not really how it's supposed to be. What I would suggest is that in the midst of whatever it is that we need to do in life, whether it be work or school or whatever, going to the gym, right? Again, that every action that we take is purposeful. In every situation, we're ready to be used by God, that we're seeing that as an act of going. And in those situations, we're ready to look into other people's lives, to step into other people's lives, if God calls us to do that. Now, ultimately, compassion, I think, leads to meeting felt needs. Right? When we have that love, compassion comes out of us, and that we meet felt needs. If you think about those passages I read of Jesus, that's what he did. He met felt needs. And you see that all throughout the Gospels. Jesus walking around meeting felt needs. What's interesting, in some of those times, you don't even necessarily see him sharing the gospel. Now, clearly, Jesus understands the gospel is important, right? It's him, right? It's at the core of our faith. But here's the thing is, because Jesus loved them so much, Jesus couldn't just see past them and their circumstances, right? Of anyone, of all of us, Jesus understands the eternal significance of coming into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. He understands that better than any of us, that is at the top. But Jesus didn't just go around like, okay, listen, I don't care that you're poor or sick or hurting or crying or struggling with something. I don't care. I just want you to know me because that's all that matters. You don't see that. Right? As he went around, he met felt needs. Because when you really love someone, you have compassion for someone, you can't just ignore those things. You can't just see past that. It's really not possible to do that. The other thing is when we meet felt needs, it does tear down walls. Right? Think about if you've ever had someone step into your life when you're going through a really hard time and they loved you through that time by meeting some felt need, whether it be food or money or just a shoulder to cry on or whatever it is. Once you have that relationship and that person has served you in that way and loved you in that way, aren't you more open to hearing what they have to say? Right? Now, I am not saying that's why we do it. This is very important. I'm not saying we go around and love people and meet their felt needs just so that we can now talk to them about God. Because then it becomes a formula and it's not coming from here. My point just is, and I think this is part of just how God created us, right, is that as we step into people's lives and we love them and we get real with them and we get messy with them, just we're more receptive to what they have to say, just the way it works. Natural. And so as we do that, as we step into lives and we meet those felt needs and those walls are torn down, then yes, absolutely. This leads for opportunities to share the gospel. Because this is the thing is, it is great to meet felt needs. Very, very important. I've expressed that. But here's the deal. Also, at some point in time, that needs to turn into words. People need to understand where that love comes from. And sometimes, and everyone's different, it's funny because people struggle on different sides of this. Right? Some people want to go and just like, you know, hit people over the head with their Bible and then run away and not really care about their lives. And then this is the extremes, right? And other people just want to love people but never talk about God. Right? It's like, oh, well, that's my sharing the gospel. It's just doing nice things to people and stuff. And that's cool. But here's the deal is I think it's both. It's not an either or. It's just stepping into people's lives, loving them, meeting real needs, real relationships, and then puts us in a position to be able to, yes, share the gospel. Because that does impact eternity. And so it is important. And if we really love people, if we're really compassionate towards people, we should be concerned about their eternity as well. Romans 10, 13 through 15 says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. At some point in time, it needs to turn to words. Right? It's great if people are like, hey, this person in my life, they're awesome, right? They're always looking out for me and they're really nice. And when I'm in a hard time, I know I can go talk to them. And if I need something, they'll help me out. And it's just there's something different about them, but I don't really know what it is. Right? And you just keep going down that path. At some point in time, they need to know where that's coming from. And God can work on when that is. I don't know, there's no exact timing or anything like that, right? But at some point in time, it points to sharing the truth. It points towards eternal things. All right, the end of this verse, it says, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. I love that part of the passage, by the way. And it's obviously not meant to be literal, right? Otherwise, maybe I'd go share good news more because I have really bad feet. But no, it doesn't mean that, obviously. All right, the point is we have something good to share. Right, we see all the brokenness in this world. We face it ourselves. We go through it ourselves. We have something really good to share. We have good news that there's a God who loves them, who sent his son to die on the cross for them and wants to spend eternity with them in this perfect place where you can have peace and joy and that every mistake that you've made will be washed clean because he's taken it on himself. That's good news. That's really good news. Now, Paul, I think, is a great example as well of someone who definitely shared in word, right? So we're going to look at one example of that. This is some of you know that the Areopagus in Acts 17. So we'll look at a little bit of that. Acts 17, 16 through 23 and 32 through 34. So it says, while Paul was waiting for them in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. So just stop there for a second. He was greatly distressed. Right? It comes from the heart. Right? He looked around and basically he saw their brokenness, he saw their lostness, and that distressed him. This word in the Greek, it has kind of a sense of irritation, almost like an itch that you just can't get out. That sense, right? And so it's just like, Paul's just like, I need to get at this brokenness and this lostness. And he goes on, he says, so he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and the God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to dispute with him. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Then they took him and brought him to a meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting. You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears. We want to know what they mean. All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Sounds pretty familiar to our culture on some level, right? Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully..." Stop there for a second. See, this is what I understand is Paul didn't go in with kind of his own agenda. He had it all ready. This is exactly what I'm going to say. This is exactly what I'm doing. I'm going to get my point across, and they're going to listen to me. That's not what Paul did. He went, he walked around, and he looked carefully. He took the time to understand them. I even found an altar with this inscription, "To an unknown God. Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you." And it goes on. Then we go on to verse 32. "When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, 'We want to hear you again on this subject.' At that, Paul left the council. A few men became followers of Paul and believed." Paul was very much other-focused. Right? When he walked into this situation again, he took the time to understand them, their culture. What did they believe? Where were they at in their life at that point in time? And then when he understood that, then he spoke from that perspective. He spoke from where they were at. Right? In 1 Corinthians 9, right, Paul, as many of you probably heard, right, he talks about being all things to all people, so that some might be saved, right? All things to all people. Again, Paul's perspective is always, hey, listen, I'm going to understand who this person is, right? Where they're coming from, what's their story, right? What's going on in their heart? And then from there, I can speak into their life. Because now I've heard them. Now I'm speaking to them, not at them. So the question for us is, first, are you distressed at the brokenness around you? Right? When you look at this world, are you distressed? It's a broken world. Are you looking carefully? Are you taking the time and effort to really get to know people, to understand their perspective? And again, I am not suggesting you're doing this for ulterior motives. And I'm going to keep getting at that. I believe that if we truly have the love of God in us, if we truly have that compassion, we're going to genuinely want to know that person's story. Whether they end up believing us or listening to us or anything. Are you sharing the gospel in a way that relates to them in their journey? That willingness to take that time is what can lead to that. And you can start where they're at. See, when we love people, we see them. We see who they are. We care about their story. You share things in a way that makes sense to them. Right? If you were, you know, it's funny. If you were to go to another country, right, and do missions, one of the first things that people talk about when they talk about going to do missions somewhere else is, what do? They talk about understanding their culture. Right, let's get to know the culture. What language do they speak? What things do we not want to do to offend them or things like that? We have those conversations so that we know when we walk into those people's lives that we're not just like, well, this is the way I am, so deal with it. It's no, okay, I want to understand who you are because I'm stepping into your life. And then from that perspective, I can share. I remember, back some time ago when I was pastoring, I did a sermon somewhat similar to this. It was broken down into more sermons, but at one point in time, I had a friend. So at my gym, his name is Rich, and he's an atheist. And this gym, so for those of you who don't know, I do some mixed martial arts stuff, whatever. And so I was at this gym, and he's an atheist, and they all know me, we're good friends and stuff like that. And I said, hey, listen, Rich, would you be willing to come to my church? And when I preach, would you get up on stage and let me ask you a few questions in front of everybody, and you just answer honestly. All I ask is that you don't swear. That's all I asked him. And he said that he would respect that. And so I invited him to come up, and he came to our service and came up on stage. And all I did is, what I was going to do is I was going to say certain words to him that we tend to use as Christians, that we're used to using. And I said, all I want from you is, what's your first response when you hear this word? The first thing that comes to your mind. So he sat up here, And I said words like holiness, sin, salvation, born again, things, the typical words that we often use in our Christian circles. And I can tell you that pretty much almost every word that came out of my mouth, he had a very negative reaction to. Very negative reaction to. Okay? And I didn't know, this wasn't a setup. I didn't say, okay, I want you to say anything. I said, just be honest. Say what comes to your mind. And he did. My point in doing that was we tend to speak about things from our perspective. And we get used to talking about certain things in certain ways. We kind of have our own Christian subculture, if you will. All right? But when we go out and we're going to walk into other people's lives, we need to understand things from their perspective. Because what we need to understand is sometimes when we say things or do things, other people might see it from a different perspective. And this is the thing about the gospel, about scripture. It's not about the specific words that I use. Right? Because if that was the case, well, let's go back to Greek and Hebrew, right? Like, these are translations, right? We're understanding these words and the nuances of these words. We can explain them. Right? If you were to talk to a doctor about an illness or something that you had, I'm guessing there's a way that they could talk about it that we'd have absolutely no idea what they're saying, right? And then they could kind of break it down into language that we would understand. Did they not really just tell us what was wrong with us? Of course they did. They just did it in a way that we understand. Now, that takes time and energy. But we need to remember that as we go out into this world, we can't expect everyone to kind of speak the same way and understand everything the same way. And if we're going to be others focused, we're going to be willing to step into their life and understand what they understand and speak to them from where they're starting at. We have a willingness to do that when we truly love people, when we're interested in people. We have compassion on people. We need to show God's truth in a way that makes sense to them through the filter of love. Now, so what we've talked about so far is a little bit of a cycle here. All right, so first, it starts with, well, we talked about love, but love leads to compassion. All right, so we go out with compassion. That compassion leads to meeting felt needs. Right? We just, as we see brokenness in people's lives, it's hard for us to not do something, right? To meet that felt need on some level. And then, as we said, as we do that, hopefully that breaks down walls and creates opportunities for us to share the gospel. And it just keeps on going. Now, I'm not suggesting this is the way it always works. All right? Please understand, I believe God can do anything in any way he chooses. And are there going to be moments where you're like hanging out at a coffee shop and he says, hey, you need to go talk to that person? You've never met a felt need. You don't know who the person is. And you're going to go over and do that and God's going to do awesome stuff? Absolutely. Okay? Understand, God can do anything. I'm talking about generally. Generally. I think this is a good kind of cycle for us to think about in our own lives as we think about going. Now, the other thing this leads back to last week that's really important for us to remind ourselves of is that this is all powered by God. We talked about this last week. Just always want to remind us, this can't become our own thing. Because if it does, it often starts going wrong. We need to lean on him for that power and that wisdom. And the reality is, I truly believe that we need to experience God's love before we can share that love. Right? And so we need to constantly be experiencing God's love in our own lives so that then we can go on and carry that to others. Now, I have a video here that we're going to watch for a few minutes. And you're going to have to read. Someone holding up cards. She'll have to read, so just everyone be ready to read. And then I'm just going to say a couple things about the video. So let's go ahead and watch that, and then I'll be right back up.